This is an In the Net 2010 MLS Super Draft Preview. Now, here's Brad Feldman.
All right, as we continue with our 2010 Super Draft Preview here on RevolutionSoccer.net, I'm Brad Feldman. Thanks for tuning in here, whether you're listening on the podcast or streaming from RevolutionSoccer.net. We will be having updates all week long, including live video hits from the MLS Super Draft in Philadelphia. Joining me now on the line is the man that they call the Mel Kiper Jr. of MLS Soccer, Buzz Carrick of ESPNSoccerNet.com and ThirdDegree.net, his own independent FC Dallas news source website. Buzz, you are the draft expert, and it's good to have you on. How's it going, man?
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be here again, although I think you maybe overselling me a little bit on the draft.
Well, no, I do know that you're not at the combine this year, which is unusual. But yeah, you still have, all your rankings on ESPN are widely read, and you see a lot of games. So I just want to get your thoughts very quickly on what you think the Revolution need, and going into the combine. So obviously, everybody is expecting Danny Mwanga to go first to expansion Philadelphia.
Yeah.
But then, some of the other guys, I think a lot of people are expecting Tony Tachani and Andre Akpan, a guy who played his college soccer near here at Harvard, to be the SC Dallas choices. But are those projections correct? And who do you project for the Revolution?
I think Akpan at Dallas is not a good projection. A lot of people say that, hey, backyard kid or whatever, but other than people that went to SMU, Shelf doesn't really have we don't really care about Dallas. It's not like he played for FC Dallas Juniors. He was a Dallas Texans kid.
Right.
But I don't think that carries a lot of weight. And I know Dallas definitely wants a striker, but Andre Akpan is basically the same thing as Perry Marosevic. There's not much difference there. So that's not going to help them any. What they need is, you're not going to get the next Jeff Cunningham, but what they need is a backup to Jeff Cunningham. They need a guy with some pace up top who can stretch the defense and create a little chaos.
Somebody like Danny Mwanga is not going to still be there. What about Teal Bunbury?
No, he'll be gone.
Do you think Teal Bunbury will still be available at 5 or 6?
It's possible. I mean, if he's there, they'll definitely take him if he's there. But I don't think he'll last that long. Kansas City is interested in him, not because his dad plays for Kansas City, but because he's the best striker available, and they need guys that can play, score some goals. But there's some other guys that Kansas City might want, too, because they need help all over the field. So whoever falls to them is going to be who they're going to take. I mean, if Opara falls that far, they might grab Opara. But that's also true of Dallas. If Opara falls to Dallas, they're going to jump on him, too, even though you might not say, oh, that's a center back's really a need for them. But,
best player available, yeah.
Yeah, best player available. I mean, he is so good that it's ridiculous. But the problem is that he's going to finish school now. It's being reported by Ivis. So he'll slide a little bit because of that, because the teams in the top are teams that need guys right away.
What about the other weight guy they're projecting that high, Corbin Bone? Terrific player, but you don't see a lot of attacking midfielders, American-born in the league, still, 15 years in.
Absolutely, that's true. Now, he's the best attacking midfielder to come out in several years, but it's also true that he is definitely like an offensive player and not a two-way player. So, who at the top of the pool can pick a guy that's going to say, we're going to plug this guy in and start right away, and it's going to make us better? Well, no coach in MLS has that kind of job security,
right?
Except that he's a very, very good player. Now, again, a Dallas kid, but not a guy Dallas wants. Dallas has got David Faria to play that spot, and even if not him, they got like 8 other guys. So, again, that's not a guy Dallas is interested in. By the time Dallas picks, you're looking at a defender, but probably more of an outside back than a center back. But more importantly, a holding midfielder and a striker are their top two needs.
All right. Well, what about the Revolution? Obviously, I've talked about it in other segments. The backup goalkeeper is a need, and also, Jay Heaps retired. So, they got the right back position very well sewn up with Kevin Alston, but they don't have a left back unless Gabriel Badia comes out of the woodwork.
Yeah. In my opinion, where they're picking, there's a bunch of solid left backs in this draft, but when I say a bunch, I mean like 5 or 6, but there's not one that's like lights out. So it's like it's hard to say, oh yeah, this is the guy, we're going to get him, and he's going to solve all our problems. Even the best guy, which now looks like it's probably Morrow from Notre Dame.
Yeah, we've been hearing that.
I don't know that you can take him that high and say, oh, he's the answers all our problems. Now, the other side of that coin, of course, is you're talking about Nickel. Now, he's a track record of saying, I don't care where I'm picking. If this is the guy I want, I'm taking him. You know, and for me, a guy that would probably better fit that mold than Morrow would be somebody like a Zach Lloyd. We all know Nickel loves the ACC. You know, he also likes guys that are mature.
Zach Lloyd, defender out of Carolina.
Yeah, Zach Lloyd, defender out of Carolina. A guy who can play midfield, center back, outside back. You know, a guy that can do all kinds of stuff. A guy that's got experience, a guy that's mature, a guy that can do all kinds of things. Another guy that strangely strikes me as a Nickel player is actually the freshman midfielder from UCLA, Ogundo. He strikes me, and I can't even tell you why, other than I think there's a maturity there and a composure there and an upside that's the kind of thing Nickel likes.
He's also Generation Adidas, doesn't count against the cat,
he is,
right?
Yeah. He is. And I can't even tell you why someone's told me that or I think that. I just have a gut feeling that might be a guy that he likes. And then, obviously, the situation with Taylor Twellman makes everybody nervous.
That was my next thing. One draft projection board I saw had Andrew Wideman, a striker, coming out of Cal. But, you know, like, is that guy going to be, is he going to replace Taylor Twellman if Taylor can't go?
Well, you know, I think everybody in the league would love for Taylor to be fine. But if he's not, Wideman is a guy that people compare to Taylor in the sense of, he's the same kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is that he's had a really bad combine. He's not showing really well. So he's definitely sliding down a little bit. And that's probably going to be there. You know, is that a guy that you can pick and say, oh, if I don't have Taylor, this guy's going to answer my problems this season?
The one reason why I would say no, the Revs wouldn't do that is, you know, we were talking to Michael Burns earlier, and they do get to see a lot of the ACC, Big East, and Ivy League teams. They don't get to see a lot of Pac-10 games except for, you know, late at night on Fox Sports Net or something like that. So, you know, they probably haven't seen a lot of live Wideman, and if he had a bad combine, that can't help his stock as far as the Revs go.
I would agree, actually, that I don't think that he's a great pick for them, even though people compare him. I don't think that's a good fit there. I think it's more likely that, as you mentioned, that Nickel's going to go with the comfort guy, which is a guy that he sees in the Big East, the guy he sees in the ACC. And I don't know if there's a striker on there that really answers that. I mean, you might say Akpan. If you get down to whether else you're picking and Akpan's still around, maybe Akpan, but I don't think
Can I just say this? I would be shocked. I'd be shocked. And I like Andre Akpan. I've seen him play in person a lot. Well, one name that I don't think is going to end up next to the Revs logo at the end of the first round, but who is a very intriguing guy to me and made a lot of noise, you know, in the youth international level is Jay McInerney, just 17 years old.
Yeah.
Enormously talented, but he's still pretty green, right?
Oh, absolutely. He's a long way from being able to contribute to Major League Soccer. I mean, you're looking at a kid with immense upside, but you're talking about a three-year window probably. I'm going to say before he contributes.
Did I say Jay McInerney? That's the author, Jack McInerney.
Jack McInerney. You know, how you say his name is can be troublesome with all those vowels in there. But, yeah, McInerney. He's a guy that a team that is going to take him is a team that has the luxury to say, I'm not going to need you for a couple of seasons. And I don't know who that is. I don't think it's the Revs.
Well, yeah, and even if teams probably should be looking long-term, like you say, with the coaching carousel with most teams, it's win today.
Nobody in MLS soccer has that kind of job security, really. Maybe Arena in L.A. might have that kind of job security. But even somebody like Columbus, who's a really good team, you can't say Robert Rosillo's got a three-year
window. No, it's play for today. Win now.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Buzz. Well, you and I could go back and forth all day. Yeah. I appreciate the time. We'll check back in with you going forward.
All right. Anytime.
Okay. Lots of good stuff on thirddegree.net. He also has links to all the other draft and combine coverage. And also check out Buzz's player evaluations on ESPNsoccernet.com. All right. That'll wrap up this segment. We'll talk to you next time on revolutionsoccer.net.